Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts, thankful for this opportunity to hear from you, dear Lord God. And I lift up this wonderful congregation who have gathered here today, dear Lord God, to hear not from me, but from you. And I pray, Father God, that everyone has ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And I ask this, Father, not for New Day alone, but also for our friends right next door with Pastor John Boss and Corona Friends Church. We pray for Connection Church, Heavenly Father. We pray for New Hope, dear Lord God. We pray for Grace Baptist, Father God. We pray for Living Truth. We pray for Open Door Church, dear Lord God. Father, we lift up every church in Corona and in the Inland Empire. And we pray that you just pour your Spirit out upon us today. Father, we love and honor you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values at New Day. Say, I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped, and I will serve. So let me give you a heads up. Today's teaching is going to be a little different, so take a deep breath. If you got a pen, you're going to need it. You're going to need to take notes today. And our message is being recorded, and just not long after service, it's going to be online at newdaycorona.org. I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen because I'm going to cover some stuff. And I told you in week one that this was really going to begin to build. And I strongly encourage you to be here next Sunday also, okay? Not only next Sunday, but I strongly encourage you to be here the Sunday after that. If you're going to take a Sunday off, you can take off the third Sunday in November. Now, I don't know how many pastors will tell you that, but I want you to be here. Next, I want you to listen to today's message. I want you to attend next Sunday and the following Sunday. And please, please pay close attention, okay? So this is part three of eyesight, living in the unseen. Eyesight, living in the unseen. Now, our scripture text is still 2 Corinthians 4:18, and it says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now, that seems like, that's like, what is that? Let's do it again, 18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Paul is writing a letter to the church in the city of Corinth, okay? I like to pretend that he's writing a letter to the church here in Corona. And he's telling us, don't look at the troubles you can see now. Now, some of you have some troubles. Don't look at them. Hallelujah. Rather, instead, fix your gaze on that which cannot be seen. So it's like, Pastor Tony, how can I look at something that I cannot see? I understand. Let's keep reading. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Now, let me remind you of something. Every difficulty you've ever experienced, you've gotten through because you're standing here right now. You thought it was over. You thought it was done. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to get through it. Let's go all the way back to sixth grade when you liked Bobby. Bobby's cutest boy on campus. Thank you, sir. Cutest boy on campus. And then you found out he likes Sally. And you're crying. And then you got on Facebook as an adult, and you saw Bobby. And you fell on your knees and said, thank you, Jesus, for delivering me. But you've gotten through everything in your life. You have. And that's what I want you to understand, too. You're going to get through this also. For the things we see now, they're going to soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. And that's what you want to focus on, the things you can see. Now, my desire on your handout, the bullet point there, my desire as pastor is not only for Christians to be Spirit-filled, but also live Spirit-led lives. Now, I need to bring this back home again, okay? So Spirit-filled means after you receive Christ as your Savior, you ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell within you, and the evidence of that is you're speaking in tongues, okay? Now, some people say they went out with apostles. It did not, okay? But the thought is that if I get Spirit-filled, then I'm all that. I'm like a super Christian. And that's not true either. I know people that speak in tongues and can out-curse Richard Pryor, Martin Lawrence, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle. What's that other little short one? Cat Williams. Just Somebody told me, I said, hey, how y'all doing? Oh, we're going to see Cat Williams. I said, who? Cat Williams. Oh, Cat Williams. And I'm flipping channels one day. I get to the comedy channel, and there's Cat. I don't know, it's Cat Williams. Let me see what all the fuss is about. And he was like, beep, 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 beep. I'm like, that many beeps? So, but some people, you know, just because you're spirit-filled doesn't mean you're being led by the Spirit. And when I talk about living in the unseen, I'm talking about living a Spirit-led life, okay? Now, so how do we do that? How do we see what's not seen? And today I want to share something with you. Humility. Say that with me. Humility. Now, you say, oh, Pastor, that's not that deep. Hold on, because I'm going to show you some scripture. We're going to get deep today, and I'm going to walk you through this, okay? Now, before we get to the humility part, remember this, okay? I got to lay this foundation again. I don't have a spirit. I am a spirit, okay? My spirit lives in this body. Got it? Okay, and I also have a soul. Soul in Greek, which this was originally written, is my mind, my will, my emotions, my psyche. So when you see the word spirit, it's the word pneuma, P-N-U-E-M-A, pneuma, okay? When you see the word soul, it's the word psyche, that's your mind, your will, your emotion, then there's the body, okay? Now, I'm a three-part or a tri-part being. The spirit part of me, that's the eternal part of me. Everybody got that, okay? Now, turn your hand out over, please. Let's look at Isaiah 57. Verse 15, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and this is important because the New Living Translation is written on the sixth grade level. Say sixth grade. Sixth grade. And that's why I use it. Hallelujah. Okay. There's no condemnation on anybody, but I want you to understand, okay? Now watch this. It says here, and this is Isaiah. This is the Old Testament. This is the prophet Isaiah. Watch. He says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity. Now, we talked about eternity last week and the week prior. I just want to reiterate, eternity is not something perpetual that goes on and on and on. I always liken it to driving cross country. You know, we get through California, you get through Arizona, you get through New Mexico, but something about El Paso, Texas. You get to El Paso, and it's like it takes forever to get all the way to the other side. I think the last city, if you stay on the 10, is Wascom. Oh, is it 20? The 10 and the 10 or the 20? Oh, I'm forgetting right now. It's a 20. I-20? It goes through Dallas. That's the 20. Yeah, because the 10 swings down through Houston. Right, okay, the 20. Okay, so you think I should know that by now from Louisiana. Some things I try to forget, glory. but going through Texas, we always say it's an eternity, okay? Now, and sometimes, yeah, sometimes you guys, I say, how long have you been married? He said, it's been an eternity. Okay. kind of sad. But it's not an eternity. It's just, eternity actually means the absence of time. There is no time. Time does not exist. And it's very hard for us to get our minds around that because that's all we know. We're born in a time, and everything is time-oriented around us. I looked at my watch 12 times already this service. You know, we're just time-oriented, you know. That's just how we are. But where God is, he doesn't live. He's not bound by time. That's why he can see the end of something from the beginning. Got that? Okay, let's read this again. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one, that's God. Watch this. He says this. I live in the high and lofty place. I'm sorry, the high and holy place with those, with who? So he lives with somebody. He communes with somebody. He's with someone, watch, whose spirits are contrite and humble. Now, Pastor, what do you mean by humble? I'm a humble person. Okay, sure. Let's keep reading. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Now, just for a second, I need you to see something. Because, see, what happens is that we can get a crushed spirit and you can go one or two ways with it. You can get offended, something can happen to you, and you can become the most bitter, angry person on the planet. There's no humility in that. Someone would do something to you, say something, you'd be like, ooh, I'm just going to cut them. Just wait, I'm going to cut them. Or here's the deal, here's one. No, and check this out. This happened here in New Day several times. So I'm going to say this, and some of you might be in the audience right now, but there are some others this happened to. Happened in my other church. I remember when Jack and I were serving at our home church. I can't even worship every time I come in and see him. What does he have to do with you and God? There's no humility in that. It's all about you and your feelings. Yeah, your spirit's been crushed because he cheated on you. You know, and that was wrong. I get it. I understand that. Okay. But you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God is still God. humbled, and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. And see, there's another thing too. For these are more prideful people. Well, I wouldn't have done it if she had been acting right. I told her to wash the dishes. Yeah. That's why I stepped out. So no repentance there. No, you know what, God, I was wrong. And none of you should let the actions of somebody else make you sin anyway. Okay, you five that agree with me, hallelujah. Another thing, too, when I talk about humility, it goes beyond your ability just to quote scripture. See, people just, I was recently, I was in another state, and somebody, you know, hey, Pastor, can I sit with you? Can I sit with you? Sure, yeah. I'm happy to sit with a pastor. I'm like, okay, we're sitting eating. And he can ask you something? Sure. And he asked me something, I don't remember, and I was answering, and halfway through my answer, he started quoting scripture. Okay, I'm eating, and he says something else, I answer him halfway through. I'm like, oh, that's what this is. He wants me to know how much he knows. Why is it important to him that I know that he knows scripture? But as he kept talking, I said, how many times have you been married? Oh, two. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're not married now, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I'm not, sir. Okay. Mm-hmm. And your relationship with your kids, kind of trouble. Yes, sir. Yes, it is. I can tell. Just because you memorize scripture doesn't mean you've had a change of heart. You can have scripture in your head and it never makes it to your heart. Satan knows scripture. So I want to show you something here. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now we're reading from the King James. This is 11th grade. Okay? That's why I say get your pens out. It's going to be a little different today. Okay? And this is the first letter Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And he says here, but the natural man, say natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So there are some things of the Spirit of God. And me, I want the things of the Spirit of God. Now, there are some natural things in this earth I like. Almost any vehicle with a V8, V10, or a V12, I like. Some of you guys, you see designer clothes, you like going to the mall, especially like down in Newport and Fashion Island and South Coast Plaza. You like, that's fine. Do your thing. I'm going to do mine. You do yours, okay? We have things we like, material, natural things, and nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that. You all have your preferences. But then we're talking about in a natural world. Now, remember, God is in the eternity, in the spirit realm. Got it? Okay. Now, there are some things up there that we need to tap into. Now, if I'm operating in my natural mind, I'm going to miss out on the things of the Spirit of God. Watch this, for they are foolish unto him. They're foolish. Meaning this, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And this is something I've learned. I've learned when I have a situation and I look at it and I go, huh, that don't make no, and I catch myself. Just because it doesn't make sense to me doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. And if I can humble myself, pump my brakes, wait a minute. And I've taught you guys, ask questions. So God, where are you working in this? It looks very bad. I don't see what's happening. It makes sense. So speak to me. Where are you in this? What is the reason behind this? What is going on here? So they're foolish unto him. Watch this. Neither can he know them. Now this word know, it's knowing intimately. Make sense? Okay, half of y'all missed that. It's knowing intimately. Make sense? So you can't have that depth being natural. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. If you are not growing in your spirit and you're living in your emotions, you're going to miss out on the things of the Spirit of God. So you will allow circumstances and situations to shake you and shift you so badly. And the reason they do that is because you get so fixated on how things must be. I'm turning 30. I ain't married yet. Who told you you had to be married at age 30? Think about it. My son Lavelle and his wife Rocille, they have one daughter, I have one grandbaby, Catalea. And Jackie's like, y'all should have some more. And I'm so proud of him. Like, no, we're not. Oh, Jackie, come on. No. You know, it could be, well, you know, mom wants us to. And you better... Moses, In Old Testament, God says, watch this. God says, Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, Moses heard the voice of God and the burning bush, the whole, all that. Okay, he gets to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. And the Bible says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God, are you schizophrenic? Didn't you tell Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let your people go, but you make Pharaoh's heart hard so he won't do it? 10 times, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we look at this and we'll say, because we know with our natural mind, oh, that's just straight up stupid. Just see, that's the Bible, don't make no sense. See, man wrote this. And that's what we'll do. As opposed, okay, Lord, what was up with that? What was your reason for that? And see, just to let you know, every God that the Egyptians had, what God did was harden his heart, and then God showed the Egyptians, I'm bigger than your gods, L 10 times. So it was more about God showing the Egyptians that I'm sovereign, and them little things you make that you carve out of wood and stone, they're not. So if you're looking at just from Moses' perspective, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. That's when I talk about humbling yourself, okay? The men on the road to Emmaus, you say, when was that, Pastor? After Jesus had risen from the dead, and the ladies had gone to the tomb was empty, they go back and tell the disciples and everybody that was there, hey, Jesus is not there, he's risen, he's gone, yada, yada, yada. And so these two men are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about a 7-mile journey. Come to Jerusalem, you'll see all this, about a 7-mile journey. And on the way, Jesus joins them, but they don't recognize Jesus. But after, and you know, they spend some time, and then Jesus breaks some bread in front of them. You know the story's in Luke 24, I believe. But what happens, they said this, didn't our hearts burn while he was here with us as he opened up the scriptures to us? Now, they knew the scripture already, or did they? So if these men who had walked with Jesus previously didn't get it, what makes you really think you got it? And that's not a criticism. I live by that myself. Peter had been fishing, and the Lord said, after his teaching, Peter, come back to the shore. And he hadn't caught nothing. And Jesus, after he finished teaching, told Peter, hey, launch your boat back out in the deep and get your nets together for a deep catch. And Peter's like, I've been out there all night, man. No, and you don't fish in a day. He didn't say that part, but you don't fish in a day, okay? Look, you build your houses, you carpenter man, right? Carpenter slash teacher, okay? You got your bivocational thing going on. I know about fishing. Let me fish. You build. Nevertheless, that's what he said, nevertheless, I'm going to let down the nets. Net, actually. God, Jesus told him to take two. He only took one. But he gets out there, and he fishes at a different time and at a different depth, and he catches a boatload of fish. A boatload of fish. How many of you guys are missing out on your boatload because you think you got to figure it out? So now we're talking about living a spirit-led life. Let's get into this, okay? Now, that's just foundation there. Turn to James, please. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18 is what we're going to read. Now, we're going to take our time in this. We're going to really walk through it slowly, okay? Now, James 3, 13 through 18, we're going to read from the Amplified today. So if you got your device, pull up the Amplified version. Or you can, if you don't have it, you can follow in your Bible or whatever translation you have, as well as being projected here on the screen. Now, let's look at who is writing. This is James. Now, who is James? James is Jesus' half-brother, okay? He grew up in a house with Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus until after Jesus' resurrection, okay? Everybody with me? Okay. Now, this is what James says, okay? Now we're talking about humility and the Spirit of God. Now, I want to show you how we come up short because I know a lot of you believe you're humble, and especially with our demographic, and when I say demographic, or really our psychographic, because I'm going across racial boundaries now, because you live in this community out here, we pretty much have the same kind of mindset. Now watch this. It says here, who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Now, a lot of you guys are wise, but you're also intelligent. This word intelligent is the only time this word is used in the New Testament, this level of intelligent here. And it literally means an expert in a particular area, okay? So, who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? I'm reading from the Amplified. Now, this is 12th grade level. I think 12th grade, 8th month level, okay? Now, we're almost college. So we're going to walk through this slowly. We got 6 verses. We're going to take our time and walk through these. And we're looking at humility, okay? So who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Now, that is almost every one of you here. So he's talking to you. Yeah, he's talking to you right now. He's talking to you. He is. He's talking to you. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? That intelligent, you have a specific area where you just shine. You just all that in a bag of chips. You think about it. Monique Bryant. Monique is a CPA, certified public accountant. You know, she works for major corporations. I mean, I don't know how much money you have, but I know there's millions of dollars she oversees. And, you know, Monica, I've seen your posting. You're an expert, with students, working with the kids. And I know you are, and based on some other things I've seen, I know about you. There are a lot of you guys, you're wise, Lakeisha. We're going to listen to you later on today. You coming to talk to our leaders. You're a human resource expert, okay? A lot of you guys are wise, and you got an area where you're great in. So this is really talking to us in Corona, okay? So then let him by his noble living, what kind of living?
Noble,
okay? Show forth his, now when you see it in a bracket, it's amplifying the word that that comes afterwards, okay? So show forth his works, but not just works, his good works, okay, right? With the humility, now before humility, you see unobtrusive. That means that it's done like below underneath the radar, okay? So you can do your good works, but you don't need to let everybody know you all that. And somebody like, well, Pastor, that's true. Okay, all right, okay, stay with me. Which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. So there's a false wisdom we're going to get to in a moment. Because see, here's the thing. Sometimes you when you find yourself in a position, I need you guys to listen to me because it's all about the Holy Spirit right now. And if you ever wonder why I asked for the Lord to feed me the Holy Spirit, I didn't get it. Maybe it's because you're not humble. Just want to put it out there, okay? And there's that true wisdom. Now, that wisdom that you have with your job and all that, that's all that. But think about it. Think about it for a moment. It pales still compared to God himself. I need you guys to see this, okay? Now, I want you to get your degrees, get your education. We just celebrated Tim. He went back and got his bachelor's in theology. Hallelujah. Working on a master's right now in organizational leadership. Great, wonderful. I'm all for that. But there's still another level of wisdom. I need you to get that, okay? Tyler, you're the only way to be a doctor right now. Which one of y'all went to Harvard? Okay, I did. Okay, no, you didn't do it like that. Okay, Dominic. Yeah, but both brilliant people and experts in their area. You know, the reason they moved up north, he went to San Jose. He works for Adobe, right? Okay, he's a hotshot software engineer. Okay, and that's wonderful. But listen to me, please listen to me. Then let all of you, by your noble living, show forth good works, okay? With a under the radar type of humility, that's true wisdom. Got that part? Okay, verse 14, Lavelle. But, say but. And Carol, what does but do? Right, okay, all right. But if you have bitter jealousy, my pastor always bring them up front. I was letting Pastor Todd speak. Every time he go up there, thank you, Pastor Todd. Thank you, Pastor Todd. Thank you, Pastor Todd. He don't never say thank you to me. No, my favorite, everybody, stand up, Tim Johnson. Everybody swear you are my favorite person on the planet. Tim. And what if he is my favorite? It's all good. Right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Praise team members. Y'all really got to watch it. I don't know what happens to y'all. And it's not just here. It's I think every pastor, well, most pastors with Tim, that's the biggest area. I don't know why. Y'all got to be careful with that. Okay. Watch this, okay? Bitter, jealousy, envy, high school kids. They got 7,000 Instagram followers. I only got 4,000. I need me some more, okay? But if you have bitter jealousy and envy, watch this. Now, here's what I want to focus on, and contention. Because a lot of y'all, when I ain't jealous of nobody, they wish they was like me. Fine. But that's the way that contention comes in. Now, here we go. Rivalry. Rivals. Now, it's one thing for Centennial and Corona to be rivals. Yeah, Santiago, yeah, we're rivals. It's a whole other thing for Tony Dunn and New Day Christian Fellowship to be rivals with Pastor Boss and Corona Friends Church. And you wonder why I get up here and pray for them? I make sure I'm not in competition with them. When you guys told me you were moving up north, I was looking for a friend. I called a friend of mine to send you guys to. Christian, come here for a second, please. I just thought of this. So here's Christian Cooley. He's working for Long Beach, Cal State Long Beach right now. He's going through the police academy. Yeah. Christian's been here from Jump Street since we started the church. And if you remember, I just want to confirm something, okay? Christian was here, young man coming up. We want young people. He was a little challenged here. We're trying to figure out some things. And can you grab that mic right there? And what did I suggest you do for a season? Where did you go?
I went to San Bernardino to a church called Kingdom Culture Worship Center. He sent me to another church so I can grow in some areas.
I sent him to another church. I don't have a rivalry. I don't have a rivalry. There are 90,000 people in Corona don't go to church. I would rather him grow and become the man God created him to be than stay here while I try to build my kingdom. Make sense? Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's rivalry. Another one is selfish ambition. So the other day, and I'm going to share this in second service. Malik is not here, but Jerry Musgrove, one of the... he does a great work here in the Inland Empire with men and some other stuff and pastors and all that. And so it's this big men's fellowship. And I said, we missed it this year. Knew they missed it. And I said, next year we got to be a part of it. And Malik overheard me. He says, oh, we got to build our own. And I just laughed. He didn't mean any harm. We do need to build our own. But I'm going to always collaborate with others because, see, collaboration helps keep away contention. You understand? I'm telling you, okay. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your hearts, and y'all pray before you go join the church. Because everything that shines, everything that glitters is not gold. There are some formulas to building church. All I need to do is get a major worship leader. I'm telling you, there are some formulas. Watch this. Do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. Truth is Jesus. Next verse, please. I need you to see this. This kind of wisdom is superficial. It's fake. It's not such as comes down from above. So wait. There's a wisdom that comes from above. That's the one we need to tap into, okay? But the wisdom we're talking about, this selfish, I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to do me. I got to cut you out. I got to, you know. And if you ever say this, and check yourself, because I know a lot of you probably said it. It's just business. You putting task and business for people that's not of God. Amen. Jesus died for people. He died for your business. And you can always make some more money. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, animal, and even devilish. It's devilish. And so if you got all that going on up in you here, I was at a big meeting last night, and it's just, God bless them. I mean, these are people who are just amazing people. And one lady said, yeah, we got to empty ourselves. As Christians, we got to empty ourselves. And most of us, we don't empty ourselves. You still so full of you? You need so much attention. Always got to be your way. Always got to have the last word. That's devilish. Next verse, please. 16. For wherever there is jealousy and envy and contention, which we just talked about, there will also be confusion. Now, confusion is defined as we're reading Amplified. Confusion means unrest, disharmony, and rebellion. Who rebelled in heaven? Satan. Lucifer. There you go. He sure did. And we can't be part of that rebellion. We can't take on that spirit. So you can't be rebelling. And pastor said that one more time, I'm leaving the church. Somebody sent me, he told me once, well, we waiting, the Holy Spirit is leading us. The Holy Spirit wasn't leading you. They said, we got an email just waiting to send it. That's the devil. That ain't the Holy Spirit. And then I remember getting up that morning, I looked at my notes, and I'm like, I know they're going to lead the church today because I know what I'm teaching. And sure enough, about 4 that afternoon, I got an email, the Lord is leading us. That ain't the Lord. Disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. And see, this is the thing. There's some things that are just vile and evil. You say you won't do them. Next verse, please. Next verse. But the wisdom from above. That's what I want to get to. This is the wisdom from above. The wisdom that we need is, first of all, pure. It's undefiled. You know what defiled means? Just jacked up, contaminated. You wouldn't drink it. It's nasty, germ. It just, yeah. Okay, then it is, I need you to see that, then it is peace loving. And many of us don't love peace. We haven't had so much peace in our life that we only learn how to function in dysfunctional environments. If an environment is functional, you will remove yourself because you love dysfunction. You can't function unless it's dysfunctional. Then it's peace loving, courteous. Courteous means considerate. That means you got to consider others. So then if I'm looking at others, it's not about me. You got to be gentle. You don't have to raise your voice. It is willing to yield to reason. And many of us, I'm stubborn. Let me tell you what stubborn is. The Bible says this in 1 Samuel, I think 15, it says, stubbornness is as idolatry. So anytime you get stubborn, like I ain't backing down, you're making yourself an idol. And idolatry is demonic. It's not of God. It's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. So no, stop being stubborn. You ever notice how quick I apologize? Even when I know I'm right. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. Watch this. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned. Watch this. Free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. 18, please. Praise team, come on up. Come on up. 18. And the harvest of righteousness that now, righteousness is conformity to God's will and thought and deed. I need you to don't look at them. Look at the screen. Look at me, okay? And the harvest of righteousness. Now, righteousness, listen to this, please, is conformity to God's will in thought and deed. Conformity to God's will. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but that don't mean we can't conform to them. And see, that's humility right there. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. You have to humble yourself, okay? Watch this. And it's the fruit of the seed sown. So you know about sowing and reaping. So here we go. Sown in peace by who? Those who work for and make peace. Now, close. I got this one and one more scripture. Those who make peace. Make peace. Make peace. Now, first you got to make peace where? In yourself. That's what I want you to amplify today so you can get what this peace really means. You need peace internally. Many so disturbed and on edge and really bothered, and ooh, he better not even sit on my roll. Make peace in them, excuse me, in themselves and in others. That peace, which means concord, that peace, which means agreement. We've got to be in agreement. And harmony between individuals. That's why the scripture says, if you can't run your household, how are you going to run the church of God? You can't get along with your wife, how are you going to get along with the members? And harmony between individuals with undisturbedness. You know, when you stay in a hotel, you put a little thing on the side, outside, don't disturb me. You don't want to be disturbed. Watch this. And a peaceful mind free from fears. So you need to remove yourself from your fears. Because your fears are causing you problems too. And agitating passions, And then moral conflicts, stop sinning, just quit, don't do it. Bible says lay aside every sin, lay it aside, don't do it. She calls you, hang up. That's rude, so what? She'll get over it. She got over everything else in her life. She'll get over you. I just want you to experience the deep things of God. Last verse. Lavelle, let me have this one. Please. Psalms 32, verse 8. And then we're going to do an altar call. Okay. Psalms 32, verse 8. Psalms 32, verse 8. I'm reading from the Amplified still. It says, it's the Lord speaking, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Young people, what's the way that you should go? You don't know. That's why, and I wish I'd have done this. I really wish I had known, even like what I'm telling you now, I wish I'd have known this at age 18, leaving high school, that the Lord can instruct me. He can take, let me have the New Living Translation on this. I told you it's going to be a teaching day today. I hope you're taking notes and then go home and listen to it. Now, really, I'm just laying a foundation for next week, okay? And please come to church next week. The Lord says, watch this, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Do you see that? What's the best path? And see, this is what happened to a lot of you. When I go back to the book of James 3:17, where it's talked about agitating fears and your moral conflicts. A lot of y'all, you right now the harvest of your life, the challenges you're facing, because you made some crazy decisions when you were younger. You're reaping what you've sown. That's it. You married somebody, or you took a job, or you left home, or you made some irrational stuff based on that agitating passions and all that, and it got you off track. I need you to hear me. God, please hear me. And what you need to do now, instead, because I've heard people say, somebody told me recently, I'm just need to take time to figure myself out. You got yourself in a situation. Albert Einstein said you cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. And then you don't want no help. I don't want nobody to know. And I guarantee you, 10 years from now, it's going to look just the same, if not worse than it does today. I just want you to win, people. That's all. I want the best for you. And so there's a level of humility that is necessary, that is really needed, and a submission to the will and the ways of God. Stop being moved by your emotions. Stop by being moved by your passions. The Bible says, unless a kernel of wheat goes in the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to pick up your cross and die daily. Every morning I wake up. Death to self. Let's go, Lord. Guide me. Guide me. Holy Spirit, what do you have today? Where are we going? Where are we headed? That's what I want for you. That's all. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you.